Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, amigos. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Hey, welcome, friend. Good to have you back on such an exalted day in 2025 history. I'd like to wish you all a happy Beer Can Appreciation Day. On this day in 1935, the beer can was born, courtesy of Kruger's Cream Ale. Well, that's right, Chester, thank you. And it's also National Peanut Butter Day. And Chester, I think you've had quite enough Nutty Butters to mark the occasion, don't you think? Go on now. Get. That's a good boy. Nabisco would go under if it weren't for that skelly prick. Well, come on in, friend. Duty calls. Looky here. Go and check out simplyscarypodcast.com and click the Patrons Area button. You can get the entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream for a bargain price. It's so cheap, they tried to put the boss in a mental institution. He got out on a technicality. So tonight, we welcome back our old pal, Gray Walker. In this one, we visit a dystopian future in which artificially created beings serve as hunters for the administration in charge. Damn it, Chester, that's the last box. Now how am I supposed to celebrate? Fuck it. Anyway, without further delay, from author Gray Walker, I give you Homunculus. Since Talos had woken up, all he had known was survival. Anyone who threatened the meager thing he called his existence was to be crushed. He imagined that the bandit in whose ribcage his fist was buried thought the same way. The bandit choked on his blood, his lungs hopelessly destroyed. Despite this, a defiant glare shone in his eyes as he tried to raise the machete in his right hand to take Talos down with him. Quickly pulling his blood-drenched fist from his enemy's chest, Talos dodged a strike aimed at his neck by an inch. The enemy fell on his back, made a few more useless attempts to breathe, and then fell limp, his hand releasing the machete. Talos sighed and picked up his shotgun, which he had dropped during the struggle, then examined the wound made on his chest. Just one of many wounds. He had caught Talos off guard, leaving a large gash. Talos grunted, then strode over to the enemy's body. He pumped the shotgun, then fired at his head, causing it to explode like a rotten pumpkin. Better safe than sorry, given that he seemed enhanced by some kind of stimulant. 15 targets this week, which made it 96 since he had woken up 2 years ago. Talos grunted, then slung the weapon over his shoulder, before taking the machete and scanning the body with a device that showed the details of the man and the bounty on his head. An object descended from the sky via a parachute. It was a silver cylindrical container that reached up to Talos's waist. It opened in a flower-like motion, and out came small white trays containing a series of syringes with a veritable rainbow of colored liquids inside, with a holographic message reading, "Pick one." Talos picked up a blue one. Along with the syringes was a device with the number 35K in red numbers, which he also took, along with a pack of cigarettes. It closed, then blasted off to be filled with another homunculus's reward for their victory. Talos lit a cigarette and trudged onward, the forest gradually giving way to Sector 15, the urban sprawl he called home. He walked down the street, past despondent junkies, people in hazard suits carrying dead bodies to the recycler shaft, and at one point, a man pinning a boy of about 16 against a ramshackle house, a switchblade in his hand.
I swear, man, I'll get you money. Just please, another week.
I've given you 2 weeks, kid, the assailant replied coldly. You don't give me the money now. Your ma will...
He was interrupted by a machete penetrating his throat, to which the blood-splattered kid winced. Talos yanked the blade from the assailant's neck, letting him fall to the ground, gurgling and choking as he helplessly clutched the wound. Both of them watched silently, one in shock and the other one with no expression until he let out a final death rattle and the light left his eyes. Talos turned his attention to the kid. Before he could muster a thank you, Talos gestured with his head and grunted. The boy took the hint and ran in the opposite direction. The homunculus looked at the body blankly, glanced at the security cameras, then continued on his way. No alarms. The thug was just one more for the recycler shaft. He eventually reached the siphon. The building stood in stark contrast to the slum surrounding it, a pristine white construct with golden doors leading in. He entered, walking in an empty line separate from the other ragged, tired citizens looking to cash in for their next meals. As always, Beatrice sat behind the bulletproof glass. A woman of about 70, she was the handler for the homunculi in Sector 15, though he could always tell by her expression that she missed the days of the automaton skirmishes. Even at her age, he knew the bulletproof glass was redundant. She looked him up and down, then gestured at the sign that read, "No smoking." Talos removed the cigarette, then put it out on the ashtray on the counter. Beatrice said dispassionately,
"Your voucher, please."
He handed the device to her, and she examined it before typing out of the keyboard, then reaching beneath the counter and handing him his credits.
"Come again soon,"
she said apathetically. Talos grunted in acknowledgement and walked back out of the building. His home was nothing special. A one-room shack with the basics. A bed, a ragged sofa, a coffee table, and a washroom. He placed the syringe with others like it to be removed when he needed it, then emptied the shells from his gun and locked it in his case. He removed his clothes and bound his wounds, which would be healed in the morning, then lay down on his bed, hearing the mattress creaking. The holoscreen in front of him displayed news of an attack by a terrorist in Sector 47, not displaying the culprit's face or disclosing their identity. The reporter described the man as a former soldier from the automaton skirmishes. The footage portrayed him as deranged and bloodthirsty, even with a blurred face, showing that he had murdered 20 men, women, and children while under the influence of a stimulant taken from a local homunculus, whom he had also killed. Law enforcement had been able to subdue and kill him, then placed him in the sector's recycling shaft. In this day and age, even the most depraved criminals were still human bodies, and human bodies couldn't afford to be wasted. He switched the screen off, then closed his eyes and drifted to sleep. Sirens screeched through Sector 15 3 hours into Talos' slumber, snapping him to attention. Quickly getting dressed and loading his weapon, he strode outside. What greeted him was mayhem. People ran screaming, tripping over each other to escape the sounds of gunshots and explosions as the alarms sang their ominous tune through the city. Usually, he would have laid low and dismissed it as another protest gone wrong. The problem with that? Defense officers were escorting the civilians, firing behind them. He looked down the street past the running citizens and soldiers. Standing at the central hub of the sector was a tall, deformed humanoid creature standing over the bodies of 9 people, soldier and civilian alike. Large bites had been taken out of their bodies and blood covered the thing's face. For all of his stoicism, Talos still felt the pang of surprise run through him. A reject. He began to make his way down the street, staying low to the ground and keeping his eyes trained on the monster as it knelt and began to consume the flesh of its victims. Loud, messy chewing sounds emitted as it desperately ate. Sickening as it was, it gave Talos an opening. He flicked off the safety on his shotgun, then crept slowly forward until he was only inches behind the creature. As his foot landed in a small pool of blood, though, the reject abruptly ceased. Talos tried to use any tactical advantage he still had, but it was too late. The reject turned with speed that matched Talos's own and punched him in the face with an enormous fist, knocking him to the ground and causing him to drop the gun. He could feel his skull crack under the blow. It glared down at its brother with a hideously deformed face that had no lips, scarring on the right side and blood still dripping from its unnaturally long teeth. It picked him up, but as the daze from the punch wore off, he pulled the syringe with the blue liquid from his tactical pouch before jamming it in the reject's arm. It made a confused grunt, followed by grasping at every inch of exposed skin. That had been one of the reasons for the rejects being discarded, their intolerance for the stimulants used by the homunculi. In this case, Talos had increased its sensory input. It could feel every speck of dust or ash in the air, be blinded by even the lowest light, and be deafened by the quietest sound. Had Talos used it, he would have been able to adapt more easily, exposing his bloodstream to the chemicals little by little. As it began groaning from the sensory overload, a shot rang out from behind it, prompting a shriek of agony. Beatrice stood with a smoking rifle aimed ahead of her. The same bored, apathetic expression crossed over her wrinkled countenance. The reject, in pain and rage, turned its sides to her and readied itself to charge. That was when Talos slid between the two, aimed his gun at its face, racked around, and fired. Even with the massive hole where the right side of its face used to be, it was able to turn its remaining eye toward him. Through a half-destroyed jaw and in a distorted voice, it managed to growl.
I am the future.
Then it sprinted in the opposite direction before either could do anything.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Talos remained in a shocked state as the sirens ceased their cries and the civilians and officers alike began crowding around the corpses. The officers attempted to sternly ward off the gawking populace, but it was of little use. Everybody had seen it, and several were looking at Talos, who just continued to stare after his brother with disbelief. It wasn't until one of the officers tapped his shoulder and handed him a voucher that Talos decided to take his leave. He looked at the old woman and nodded in silent thanks, which she reciprocated. Then he took the device and walked back to his home. After unloading his gun and putting it away, Talos sat on his bed, staring at the wall with a 1,000-yard stare. It spoke. He didn't know how, but it had spoken. Homunculi weren't able to speak, even if they tried. After reanimation, speech was made impossible to prevent unnecessary distractions or socialization. And yet this homunculus, a reject at that, had spoken. The words it had used weren't any less worrying to Talos. "I am the future," it had said. When the homunculi had been created, it had been with the intent to replace the automatons, reintroducing a human element to what the Albedo administration called sanitation. The homunculi were given homes, weapons, and payment in exchange for dealing with special threats to the population, things the defense officers either couldn't or wouldn't deal with. And for the first time since their inception, a homunculus had voiced intent to harm humans. Something wasn't right. Talos knew that much. After a time, he laid back down. He knew that it was odd to be able to sleep after an event like this, but that was just how homunculi were, able to disconnect more easily than humans and think more objectively. Besides, he couldn't think straight with his skull cracked. He would pursue the problem in the morning, once he had healed. Stepping out of his shower the next day, he got dressed and walked out into the street. Save for several large blood splatters on nearby buildings, the attack from the night before had been all but erased, and the defense officers already had the splatters half scrubbed. They gave him an ambivalent look as he passed by, and he paid them no mind. His work was usually thankless anyway. Talos re-entered the siphon and made his way to Beatrice's desk. He grunted inquisitively, and she sighed before handing him a holographic device.
"Here,"
she muttered flatly.
"It's in the old Sector 4. If the records tell the truth, kid, I'd recommend investing in some upgrades."
Talos was confused until he looked at the picture of today's target. Captured on a drone recording was the reject he and Beatrice had encountered, codenamed Janus. Surrounding it were 16 humanoids, all armed. Talos tried to process what he was seeing. Automatons. It had been 50 years since the end of the skirmishes, and all of the rebellious machines had been decommissioned or destroyed, from what the administration had told the public. Of course, Talos was hardly surprised by the apparent ignorance of the government. This sort of thing was what he and other homunculi existed for. Still, it was no wonder why the sector was abandoned. One of the machines raised its head, and as its green eyes flashed red, it raised its firearm and shot the drone. Janus gripped a small drone in his oversized hand. His damaged face twisted into a hateful snarl as he crushed it. He gathered himself, reining in the urge to begin smashing everything in sight. He needed to remain composed.
"As I was saying,"
he said in a manner more articulate than Talos had witnessed,
"you all know why I've come here. You were declared obsolete by the administration. Same as I."
The automatons looked back and forth between each other, mechanical clicks and chirps sounding as they discussed Janus's words.
"I was a poor soldier in their eyes, and so they tried to kill me. That is why I bear these scars."
He ran his finger over the right side of his face, seeming to take on the tone of a martyr.
"I am called a reject, but I am a victim, just as you were. Serve me, and I can grant you the thing you tried to take from the humans. I can give you true life."
This prompted quicker and more frenetic noises from the machines. Their discussion went on for almost a minute, and Janus's patience was wearing thin. Finally, they turned to him. They each clasped a clenched fist over their chests, mimicking the salute of the Albedo army. Inwardly, the reject scoffed. How foolish these machines were to believe the words of someone like him, though he supposed it was useful that it was so easy. Even if he found other rejects and they bought his bold-faced lies, they wouldn't dare help him with what they had planned. His keen ears picked up on the sounds of humans talking several miles away in another part of the sector. Scavengers, no doubt. At least 8 of them. Though he lacked lips, one would be able to tell that he turned his head to the noise with a hungry sneer. He looked at the automatons and nodded. Their eyes reddened as they raised their guns. It had taken 3 days for Talos' upgrades to be installed and for his body to adapt to them, but soon enough he was prepared. On the morning of his assignment, he donned his body armor, jacket, pants, and boots, then took his shotgun down from the rack along with extra shells. His souvenir from the bandit several days before caught his eye. Talos pondered the blade, then shrugged and decided to hang it from his belt. He couldn't always rely on his fists, and a machete gave him just enough reach to keep him at a relatively safe distance. He left for Sector 4 in a flying transport he had rented. He tipped the pilot in advance before they made their way to the abandoned city. Much like Sector 15, Sector 4 was a slum, but at least 15 had some life to it. Since it had been overrun by automatons and various airstrikes were deployed, nobody had dared venture there save for scavengers and bandits. They landed, and Talos exited the vehicle and began to stroll toward the abandoned sector. As he did, he flexed his arms experimentally, testing the mobility of his upgrades. A fly buzzed by his ear, and before he even realized it, he had seized the insect. As it struggled between his finger and thumb, he studied the inconsequential creature with a detached expression. His fingers opened, letting the minuscule scavenger buzz away. Checking the ammo in his shotgun, he continued toward his destination. Having brought another syringe filled with blue liquid, he tapped the glass with his finger to rid it of bubbles and slowly injected it into his arm. The effects were almost instantaneous despite his caution. He clenched his teeth as he felt the searing hot liquid run through him like fire in his veins, his hands twitching violently. It took 30 seconds for the burning to subside, but once it had, Talos felt his senses heightened. He could hear the faint sound of things moving in the distance, see colors with greater clarity, smell the gunpowder in his shotgun shells, and feel the cuts on his body searing on his skin. As his body acclimated to the sensitivity, his wild tremors gradually subsided and he stood up straight. Talos continued into the city, pulling his shotgun off his shoulder, flicking the safety off and aiming it ahead. With his heightened senses, something he took notice of was the sounds in the distance had suddenly gone quiet. Not gradually, it was the instant quiet that preceded an ambush. He kept walking ahead before doing a double take. In an alley was what looked like a mannequin facing away from him. Not taking any chances, he slowly walked over to the object. It seemed to be just a regular mannequin, and yet, there was something off about it. He noticed too late when the mannequin's eyes glowed and its mouth dropped open, letting out a metallic screech. The sudden blow to his enhanced senses nearly left him disoriented, but he collected himself long enough to know what was happening. He had just given himself away, something that became abundantly clear when the red-eyed machines leered at him from the rooftops of the ruined apartments. Talos frantically ducked into one of the buildings, a dilapidated tavern, and took cover behind the bar as four objects thudded onto the pavement. All too soon, four automatons began firing into the building, trying to shoot at him through the bar. Two bullets hit his body armor but failed to penetrate it. The ricochet of the bullets off of the metal that coated the bar rang in his ears. In the reflection of one of the empty glasses, his augmented eyes got a clear look at the automatons. They moved rather stiffly, and patches of rust were visible on their metallic parts. As they continued firing, he reached for a large bottle of whiskey and uncorked it. Shrugging, he took a swig, feeling the burn of the spirits more intensely as they ran down his throat. All things considered, it was a good year. A rag sat close by, no doubt once used by a beleaguered tender to wipe up the booze and bloodstains. Stuffing the cloth into the bottle and withdrawing his lighter, he waited for a lull in the gunshots. After a few minutes, the ricochets stopped and Talos lit the makeshift fuse. Catching fire almost immediately, he hurled it at the entrance, causing a veritable inferno to spring up around the machines. Taking advantage of the distraction, he aimed his gun at them, focusing on their extremities first. With abnormal quickness, he fired at one, leaving it without its arm. Then, pumping the slide at another's leg, he repeated the process with the other two. That was always a popular strategy against the automatons. Aim for the limbs before the head or chest. It usually took a few seconds for them to reevaluate their combat strategy minus an arm or leg, precious seconds that could be used to take them down. Talos did this with ease on account of his upgrades and their corroded hardware. In the space of a few seconds, their heads were reduced to sparking mechanical detritus. Except that wasn't all there was. With perplexion, Talos watched as red liquid seeped from the holes where their heads once sat. Was it? No, it couldn't be. He shook the suspicion off and examined the machine's weapons, finding that two of them carried shotguns as well. Withdrawing the shells, he found them to be of the same caliber as the ammo he carried. Quickly pocketing them, he strode away from the fire, which was growing larger due to the many other drinks housed inside. Talos began making his way further into the city before a thought struck him. He had no idea where Janus was. He was stumped until something caught his eye. A broad line of blood. It was fresh, and couldn't have been made more than a couple of hours ago. In his experience, when he needed to find someone dangerous, the blood trail, figurative and literal, was a good place to start. As he followed it, he noticed that there were handprints all around. Who or whatever had been dragged, the poor bastard had been alive and using whatever life they had left in them to struggle uselessly. After following the trail for almost 20 minutes, a peculiar sound reached his ears. It sounded like chewing. Cautiously walking forward, Talos finally stumbled upon it. There was Janus, seated at the steps of the city's siphon, as if it were a great throne he had taken. He was surrounded by the bodies of at least 17 humans, all torn apart and bearing large, messy bite marks. Seemingly paying no mind to the interloper, Janus's massive hands held a man whose head lolled back, his neck broken and his face in a rictus of shock. He was gnawing on the man's torso with the fervor of a starving dog, seemingly not caring about the crunching bones as it chewed. The more it ate, the more Talos noticed that Janus's face had healed, though the scars from before the gunshot never did. Horrific as it was not the most bizarre part. Surrounding him were 12 automatons, all engaging in the same practice with the leftovers. From several cracks in the machine's exteriors was a substance that Talos could only identify as the beginnings of... No, that was impossible. The machines were growing flesh. As if sensing Talos's shock, Janus looked up from his meal and chuckled darkly.
Beautiful, is it not? I have imbued these simple machines with my essence, given them the gift of life. It will take time, but soon they will become something greater. Isn't it ironic, brother? We, who were made from the corpses of humans, can bring forth new life. And now, that new life shall supplant that of humanity. Why not partake in this supper with us, brother?
He picked up one of the arms of one of the humans and tossed it at Talos, who flinched and took a step back. The reject laughed and took another bite.
What?
He said half mockingly through a mouthful of flesh.
Don't tell me you haven't considered it. You must be tired of being beholden to humankind. Eat the flesh I have blessed, and...
One of the automaton's heads exploded, showering the area around it with gore. Janus' expression turned to one of shock as Talos quickly pumped and unloaded 11 more slugs into each machine, to the increasing horror of the reject who stood and shrieked in protest. When all of his disciples lay in mixed pools of blood and hydraulic fluid, Janus gazed at them with wide-eyed dismay before looking at Talos.
Why?
Janus asked, his distorted voice quavering as if he were about to weep.
I only wanted a better life. A life free from humanity. For all of us. For you.
His grief fell away to an unearthly rage.
Ungrateful vermin.
He snarled, as his body began to twitch unnaturally.
You have not stopped what is coming, for I am Janus. I am your past, and I am your future.
His twitching form began to shift. Long tentacle appendages bursting from his back with talon-like protrusions at the ends. His right arm mutated into a great blade made of bone, keratin, and meat. His left eye grew to the size of a melon, the sclera turning a putrid yellow and the iris a sickly green. Without warning, one of the tentacles lashed at Talos, who barely managed to dodge it. He flanked the deformed homunculus and shot him, leaving a gaping hole in his chest. His left eye moved in its socket like a chameleon's before fixing on him. His upper left tentacle struck at Talos. That time, the appendage struck his arm, leaving a large gash along it. He groaned, his enhanced senses sending a shockwave of pain through his nerves. Nonetheless, he gritted his teeth and continued to fire at the abomination. Despite his mutations, or maybe because of them, he was still quite fast, dodging several of the shots just as Talos was able to evade the tentacles. They continued to circle each other, Talos taking the time to reload as they waited for the other to make the first move. As they kept their gazes locked on each other, the beast rambled.
I could have made a new world for us, brother. I could have planted the seeds for a world solely for the homunculi. Are you so loyal to your masters that you would deprive us of that? Would you allow such a miserable species to continue existing?
Even with Talos's lack of speech, his response showed in his eyes. Enraged, Janus's tentacles fainted, then grappled against nearby buildings, pulling him forward before Talos could fire. The curved serrated blade of his arm impaled Talos in the place where his body armor had been shot earlier, pinning him against the wall. The wound on his arm only hurt. This was a new brand of agony. He had been stabbed many times before, even impaled, but never with his senses enhanced. The pain that radiated from his injury seemed to overload every receptor in his body. It was so overwhelming that he could barely muster a sound beyond a gurgling groan.
I will build my world on the corpses of the humans. I will create a future solely for the homunculi. But before I do that...
He began slowly drawing closer to Talos.
I'll consume you. Be grateful, brother. Through your body and your blood, you will help make us into the dominant species on this planet.
Talos was frantic. Between the pain and the slowly approaching jaws of his foe, he knew that he was done for if he didn't do something. He had lost his shotgun, and his fists likely wouldn't be quick enough to avoid his jaws. Unless... His fingers grasped the rubber handle on his belt, and then he brought the machete up and drove it to the hilt into the enlarged eye. Janus shrieked in pure agony as yellow slime spurted forth from the organ. Wasting no time, Talos withdrew the blade and brought it down on the soft spot above the bladed arm. Thanks to his upgrades, he hacked at the arm with relative ease, holding it in place as the reject flailed about before it separated from him. The blade slowly melted until it was nothing but a fleshy mass which Talos threw aside. As Janus continued to screech in pain, the tentacles seemed to fall away, falling off of him as if his willpower had been the only thing holding them there. Talos hobbled over to the reject, picking up his shotgun. The half-blinded Janus, now reduced to agonized groans at the loss of his eye and arm, fell to the ground. He looked up at Talos with his remaining eye. With his remaining arm, he pushed against the ground and lunged at Talos, jaws wide open. But all he found was a shotgun barrel in his gaping mouth. Then Talos pulled the trigger. An explosion of gore coated the ground behind Janus, his head now completely gone as he fell to the ground. Talos sighed, slumping to the ground and processing what had happened. He would need to take some time off after this. The wound would heal, grievous as it was, but the emotional toll was staggering. He had never seen a fellow homunculus with such deranged ambition. The things he had said had also stirred something in Talos, but not the sort of thing Janus had hoped for. In a way, the reject was right. Maybe humanity was flawed. Maybe they took his kind for granted, and maybe they were capable of great evil. But as dark as this world was, it had to be better than the future Janus had envisioned. As he scanned the corpse, he received a personal message on his device from Beatrice, sardonically saying,
"That was fast, kid."
He smiled wryly and lit a cigarette before sitting and awaiting his transport. Yeah, this was better.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And that was Homunculus by author Gray Walker. A good reminder that, sure, humanity has its flaws, but we did invent the beer can. A little about the author. Gray says the following, quote, "I'm only a writer in the sense that I write stuff and people read it. Besides that, I have no idea what I'm doing. If readers/listeners manage to glean some kind of profound message or parable from my stories, odds are it was an accident and they're much deeper thinkers than I am. My favorite genres of writing are sci-fi, fantasy, horror, or some mix in between those. My main sources of literary inspiration include Stephen King, Cormac McCarthy, controversy notwithstanding, Isaac Asimov, William Gibson, Harlan Ellison, and fellow Reddit authors Elias Witherow, C.K. Walker, no relation, and Matt Demersky. I have a Reddit account at www.reddit.com/user/littlembigr-grave42 and a WIP website where some of my writing can be found. thegraywalker.wordpress.com, end quote. Hey, thanks, Gray.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, friend, at least till next week. Meanwhile, be sure to visit me on the Sinister Somnolence YouTube channel for my new show, The Crimson Hour, tomorrow night and every Saturday night at 7 Central. So grab a drink for the road, friend, and head on over to my new weekend abode. I'll see you there. And may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Hit that like button on your way out, huh? And until tomorrow, go fuck yourselves. I love you all. You know that, right? Good night, friend.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.